I want to say hello and good morning to everyone. And I've got the very, very big privilege to be able to have Joy Williams with me this morning. And I'm very excited because I have been blessed by Joy's life, and especially being able to get to know you, Joy, over the last 12 months, especially, to see the love of God in you and that growing in really very difficult circumstances that she's been walking through. And so it is an incredible privilege to have Joy with me and for her to share a bit of her story with us today. And so I pray that you're greatly blessed and encouraged and challenged by that. But firstly, I'm looking forward to, she's going to do the Bible reading for us this morning from Philippians 4. And so I'm going to ask you to kick us off with that, Joy.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's just such an incredibly beautiful and profound passage. And Joy and I, it's had an amazing impact in your life over the last 12 months.
It has.
It's been really a pretty... pretty hellish time for you in reality.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't wish this on anyone in terms of what's happened.
Not even an enemy.
No, that's exactly right. But I have been greatly blessed by you, Joy, and the conversations we've been able to have along the way and the way I've seen God working in your life. And so I'm excited for you to be able to share some of your story and your journey and how God's word has just continued to impact you through this process. And so I'd love just for you to kick us off as to sort of the last 12 months. It's 12 months almost to the day, really.
To the day, 23rd, yes.
Okay.
So. And that verse was one that has been brought to me over 40 times. I've actually journaled during this, and I hate journaling. It's not something I like to do. I don't like to reflect. I'm not deep. I like that. But over 40 times that has been brought to me. Mm. And it was actually my father's favourite verse. Mm. And when Dad was dying of cancer, he shared that with me many, many times. So it was actually a very special verse.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
So I've always believed in God. I've always known that Jesus was pinned to the cross so that I could have a relationship with God. Mm. I've always had faith, but have I actually been faithful? That's been probably the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Joy likes to do things Joy's way and always have.
Yeah, be like all of us.
That's right. And as we've had a chat, I've always seen that narrow gate. And that narrow gate looks quite narrow, and the path that goes to the narrow gate is really quite narrow.
Yep.
And Joy in her personality isn't narrow. So like we've discussed, I sort of did the path and I'd go for a little wander and then come back to the path, go for a large wander and then come back to the path. So I do like to a bit walk to the beat of my own drum. One Sunday morning I was standing here in church, and the band was playing I Surrender All. Mm. And that day, God absolutely touched my heart and said, Joy, you've been round the mountainside. I've given you a kick up the butt a few times and you haven't listened, but this is the time that I'm calling you. So it was interesting. As I was standing there, and I'm not this big Satan-y type person, but as I was standing there and said, God, I actually do surrender and I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey, these little things were coming, and I thought, I could be in trouble here. Mm, it was quite an interesting sensation while I was standing there.
Yeah, a real turning point.
It was. So he was like, "Joy, it's time to come home to me." Mm. And that morning, Ange got up with Corey and they spoke about Search for Life.
Yeah.
And it was totally on my heart. Joy, you need to come. Mm. I have things to tell you. You need to grow. Mm. You need to turn from milk to solids. And it's time now. It's time for you to be a teacher, not just a receiver.
Yeah.
So I joined up for that course with a bit like, okay, this could be interesting, maybe a bit heavy, but let's do it. I know God wants me to do it.
Mm.
When I went to Search for Life, the girls that I was in the group with were the most beautiful, caring, loving, sharing, honest girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the time that we spent together, you could feel God's presence and you know that He was talking into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the raw honesty of everyone made me realize that God loves us no matter what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out from that, I got shown Romans 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. And during that time, you know, He was just speaking to us and showing us how much He loved us and we weren't condemned. And, you know, I was His adopted child, and being adopted in the real world as an adopted child and being adopted by God is actually a pretty special double meaning for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was pretty amazing. So while I was doing that course, I was meant to be there.
Yeah.
Because on the, whatever date, the 10th of June, I had an appointment with my GP because I'd had pains through my breast and in my underarm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, it's okay. You know, I've already had two different ones before, two scares, and they've been fine. Third time lucky, I'll be right.
Mm.
Went off mammogram, ultrasound. The doctor didn't even come in and speak to me. She just sent the radiologist back in and said, we've made an appointment for you tomorrow, 9:30.
Yeah.
I'm like,
the worst thing you can hear. Yeah.
I thought, no, that's not going to be a good outcome.
Yeah.
So I went in and saw her the next day and she said, Joy, you have breast cancer.
Mm.
And so from there, I had to go and do another heavy duty ultrasound, etc. And then she said, now we need to do a biopsy. And there was this big mix-up. She wanted me to go into the place in North Adelaide with the best doctor there.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, can't do it, too busy. Mm. Sent me off to Ashford. Ashford rang me the day before and said, well, we don't have any proper doctors here.
Mm.
So then they re-rang back to North Adelaide and the beautiful doctor there said, ah, it's crazy mad Friday. Just chuck her in and we'll have Friday frenzy and I'll just do her during my lunchtime.
Yeah, wow.
So again, I was like, thank you, Heavenly Father. Yeah. Where you're sending me is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I will tell you, I'm needle phobic.
Yeah, like, I remember we stood up here. Do you remember? And we told the whole church how needle phobic you were because it's not just, oh, I don't like needles. You're like
vomit, diarrhea, punch on. Come too close with that and it's punch on. So, yeah, so when all this was happening and heading in for biopsies and that, and I'm like, oh, God, what on earth am I facing? Like, this is double whammy for me. But again, God's peace through this has been unbelievable. Mm. Like, it's even been a shock to me.
Yeah.
And my sister was with me every step of the way. She came to every appointment with me.
Mm.
She gave up her life so that she could actually be God's rock on earth for me.
Mm.
And her husband blessed everything she did and has supported us the whole way along, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
And even she said, how come you're not freaking out? I'm here, I'm sick. Mm. And you're like, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
But through every single thing that was happening, it was just an unbelievable calm.
Mm.
And God's presence and all of the readings that I was being given was just amazing.
Mm.
And my Bible reading, I used to do a Bible reading here and there.
Yeah.
Prayer was a chat on the way to the bus or on a way home from the bus or whatever.
Mm.
And God actually led me deeply into His Word.
Yeah.
And it's been just an amazing time sitting in his word. And I'm excited now to read his word and see what he's going to say to me and to sit quietly and pray, which was something. It was like, blah, 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 blah.
You like to talk, hey?
Be nice.
And it's been amazing because, I know how powerful this verse is that you've been reading, and to see and hear this transformation take place as you've sat in that and actually God's words washed over you.
Absolutely.
And the reality, like, this is the thing about Philippians 4, is I think sometimes we read this and it's, and I've read it at times and been like, I rejoice always in the Lord. You get this sort of disconnected picture of a disconnected Christian.
Yes.
Like, I rejoice in the Lord, disconnected from reality.
Yes.
But you've, this has actually borne fruit and proved true and deeply real in your life.
Absolutely.
As the peace of God that transcends all understanding has actually sat in your heart and on your mind and around you.
Absolutely.
In really tough stuff, Joy.
Yes.
And so it's been amazing to see both you in experience that and then have a growing desire to enjoy God and know him and experience him.
Yes.
And see him do the same for other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when I gave thanksgiving, which sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
Hey, slam, have a bit of cancer and say thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was like, do I really want to thank you for this? Not really. But then it's like, God, you didn't give it to me, but you'll get me through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was just quite a peaceful time.
Yeah, which is the amazing thing about this passage. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And the rejoicing is not in the cancer or in the struggle or in the difficulty. And like we're saying, thank you for inflicting this on me. But it's rejoicing in the Lord who is with us always in the midst of those things.
And he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely,
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So from there, again, I got sent off to Dr. Kolios, who is the head of the breast cancer here in SA, and he's like a barrage of tests, and all I could think was injection, you're kidding me, and every test was a dye, so they had to, the catheter and pour all the stuff into me, and I'm like, oh, excellent. Then I had a nuclear science one, so that was like some radioactive something that they were pouring into me that you had to go away and come back, and by the time I walked out of the hospital, I thought I was glowing and they'd be able to see me from outer space. I'm like, what on earth is going on? But again, through all of those, I was given the most beautiful people.
Mm.
Every time I went to an appointment, they were there, come on, Joy, let's go. Like there was no waiting, there was no, and they were all just so kind and caring. So again, I felt God's hand in every one of the tests that I was having.
Just weaving it together
and putting
the right people, right position, and you where he wants you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it was lovely. Quite a lot of them were good comedians, so we were about to have quite a lot of banter as we were going along, which was nice. Deflect scared by humour, I think.
That's right.
So I saw him after, and all of the pieces came together, and praise God. My bones, they even found a brain, so that was pretty exciting. I said, did you find a brain?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, I had no cancer anywhere else within my body, and it was early breast detection, which is the best thing that you can possibly do. We were waiting for one more piece of the puzzle from the biopsy, and that came back, and dear Dr. Kolios, Jan and I nearly all fell through the floor. He was shocked. I can still see his face. Is there joy? I'm so sorry, this is the worst outcome. You have got her to triple positive breast cancer. And we were like, yeah, okay. And my reaction was, how about the injections now? What's going to happen? He said, Joy, I've just told you breast cancer.
Yeah,
and
you're worried about the injections.
I'm worried about the injections. And he's like, that's okay. We're going to ship you off and put a port and we'll use the port in your chest and go from there. And I'm like, okay. And then he said, my good mate, Dr. Silver, is head of the RAR oncology. And I'm sending you to Sid. And again, I felt God's provision in sending me to somebody, and he fitted me in. He'd been on holidays. He fitted me in at 5:50 p.m. on a Wednesday night, first day back. and they'd had their clinic in the morning where they discussed all the cases and they all knew what track they were going to follow for me.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm actually going to read this out because this was a bit of a shock.
Mm.
So when I went to see him, he's like, your plan is going to be 3 months of weekly chemo with a double drug every third week, followed by 2 months of a very nasty, debilitating drug called the Red Devil, or AC, with a follow-up injection the next day to restore all the good cells that were going to be killed off, which was going to be very painful in your bones, followed by a dye MRI to determine the outcome of the chemo on the cancer and what the operation would be, whether it would be a full mastectomy or a partial conservation, and how many lymph glands would need to be taken.
Mm.
Then I'd have to have the operation to remove the cancer and have a further biopsy. And my prayer during all of this was, please, Jesus, just blast this tumour so that it's not quite as bad a journey.
Mm.
Then it would be 4 to 6 weeks to heal after the operation, and then I was going to undergo 17 rounds of radiotherapy every day. From there, I would have immunotherapy once every 3 weeks for 17 treatments, which goes till the 28th of September, and I'm also on a nasty hormone drug for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
So it was wow.
Yeah.
I was... my sister and I just sat there and looked at him and...
You'd be stunned.
We were
daunted,
overwhelmed. It was like, what on earth?
Yeah.
Yeah,
whole world's just totally flipped on
its head. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I did think Satan was attacking me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get out, you.
yeah, absolutely. And understandably, in the midst of all of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a huge load to bear in that moment.
It was.
And as you started that journey and continued it along.
Mm.
Mm.
Yes. So through a lot of quiet time with God, and every Tuesday before I would have my treatment on the Wednesday, Tuesday was my day with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quietly going through my readings doing my scripture and whatever, and always God was showing me something to face up to the journey next time.
Mm.
And when you asked me to come and have hands laid on me that day, I'm like, well, that's a bit hallelujah. Like,
yeah, it's not quite your style.
Not quite my style, but I must say again, when I was reading, and I've probably lost my place now, God actually showed me again the verse from James 5:14.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord.
Mm.
And I knew God was saying you needed to go to your church family in my holy place and you needed to come and have hands laid on me. And that day, Justin and his family and my sister and my partner all came, and we all felt God's absolute love and presence.
Mm.
And I could feel that he was, through yours and Aaron's hands, I could just feel the Holy Spirit was working through me. It was truly an amazing time.
Yeah, God just reminding you that he sees you and he is with you. He has not left you.
No.
But he has very much been with you step by step by step.
Very much so.
And you know, what's been beautiful, Joy, is to watch how, I remember praying for you that day and asking you what can we be praying for? And your first immediate response, which to be really honest, like stunned me a little bit because I'd be thinking, you know, that this disappears, that we get rid of this. But instead, your first immediate response was, I don't want this to be wasted. I want other people to come to know Jesus through me in my story.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, that's incredibly amazing and profound.
It was.
and it's amazing to see how that has actually unraveled.
Yep,
you know, and how God has done that through you as you had that mindset every step of the way.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. God definitely spoke into me, don't waste the pain.
Mm.
You plant the mustard seed and I will do the rest of the work. Yeah. So it was, and I truly witnessed that, you know, even when I was in the hospital having the regular chemo, my young nurse that I saw regularly, he was a Christian.
Yep.
So I would, you know, they'd be talking and whatever else, and Joy's normal mouthy stuff was, that's okay, God's with me, we'll be able to do this, it's going to be crap, but he'll be there.
Yeah.
And Archie came up to me and he said, Joy, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I am, my love. And he said, I'm a Christian too. Mm. And he said, sometimes in this place, it can get very dark. Because when I was doing AC, the Red Devil, you know, you'd walk in for the first treatment. Mm. The second treatment, girls were on walking sticks. The third treatment, they were in wheelchairs. Mm. The fourth treatment, they were in hospital. Mm. And their bloods were all over the place and all messed up.
Mm.
And I ended up on walking sticks by the third time. My bloods were amazing. I was hoping that by the fourth one they'd be a bit rubbish so that I wouldn't get so much put into me. But they're like, no, it's all good. Your bloods are amazing. You can have a full dose. And I'm like, yay, go me.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not thanking you today.
Yeah. That's not good.
But when I was having treatment, Archie always came to me and he'd always put his hand on me. And he'd say, God is with us and Jesus is watching you. And a couple of times, like, I was having really dark times because it's just blood red, blood orange that's just pouring into you. And you can start instantly feeling not well. And I was actually praying to God, like, I need the strength here, because there was a young lass and she was in her 30s and she had young children and she had stomach cancer. And we were able to strike up a conversation and I was able to tell her that Jesus truly loves her. But before that, I was like, okay, Lord, how do I broach this without sounding like some religious freak and going whatever? And all of a sudden, over by the desk, up came Hosanna. And I'm like, hang on, am I dead? Like, have I gone to heaven? Where's
You're already
the angels?
Singing songs, yeah.
I'm like, where is this coming from? And it kept on going. And then Archie came in and he said, oh, that's my reminder to tell me to move my car. And I'm like, Archie, I said, I'll share. And he laughed. He said, that's pretty cool. But then when he went out, the other two people went out and I was just with this young lass. And it was a beautiful time of sharing. And during other times when Archie and I would talk about, you know, the love of God and how he doesn't give this to you, but he's there and he's your strength. Other people sitting in the room and the other nurses would all start talking in, and the book that you gave me, I was able to share with a couple of the nurses there. So
it's amazing.
Even in the midst of blur,
absolutely. It reminds me of the message. It reminds me of Philippians 1. Casey preached this message from verse 12. It says, "Now I want you to know," and this is beautiful because it's been. It's like this has been lived out by you and your story in this horrible situation. But Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me," you know, Paul being in prison, "has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, or throughout the whole hospital, you know, and throughout all of the nursing staff and the doctors, to everyone else, that you are that Jesus Christ is your Lord, he's your Saviour, as Paul says, that I am in chains for Christ. And this very thing has actually served to advance the gospel, and God's used you as an instrument in that."
Yes.
I find that so beautiful, and you're, especially from being someone that has said, okay, God, I want to continue to do things my way and sort of dodge the narrow path. Suddenly you've said, okay, I surrender. Oh, I'm willing. And then he said, okay, Joy, I've got you right where I want you. And then your life and this story has proven to advance the gospel.
Absolutely. Mm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. When I read Paul, I'm like, blow you, Paul.
I know, that's right. Isn't it this sucky reality? We read scripture like, oh, God, what are you doing? Why do you use these terrible circumstances?
That's right, exactly, exactly. Yeah, but like I said, it was when I could give thanksgiving. And, you know, it was really interesting because when there was people who were very, very sick, I would say to them, may I pray for you? And during the week, I will be praying for you.
Mm.
And first of all, people would be like, which I would have been, I'd be like, yeah, okay, calm your farm.
Yeah.
But, and then after the weeks went on, they would be like, you're praying for me, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I learned through this. Don't say a hollow, I'm praying for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Follow up with it.
Mm.
And the people, my home, my family here, I felt prayer constantly.
Mm.
And when I've had a downtime, someone will send me the most beautiful text. Someone will send me a scripture. Somebody will say, Joy, we are still praying for you, and we are praying that, you know, God will look after you. Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've just been, Philippians 4:4-6.
Yeah,
so many times people have texted that to me along the way.
Yeah, that's right. It really is beautiful. And again, it reminds me of that passage in James that you referred to before about calling the elders and praying. And then it goes on and says, you know, that the prayer of a righteous person, that Elijah was a person just like us,
yes.
And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and has great effect. And so we do. We have this incredible privilege to partner with one another and to pray, trusting that God will do what he's desiring to do, and it's been amazing to see and hear of the manifold number of prayers that have been answered in and throughout this.
Absolutely.
Even through to how the treatment has gone to where it's needed to go in your body and
it
in
has.
Your circumstance.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And you know, like I've said to you, with friends, we actually prayed. And again, the Holy Spirit is, you know, Jesus and God always, you talk about it, but the Holy Spirit is a bit mystical, but we actually prayed that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit to protect my organs and to protect my bloods and for the cancer to actually go straight to be blasted and for the treatment to actually go there, and I could feel that. Now, that sounds bizarre, and if someone had told me this about 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, you're on drugs. But it was truly just this peaceful, calming presence of God with joy. No matter what, it is my will. My will be done, but I am with you. You know, when you face your mortality, you start thinking about heaven and all sorts. So, it's actually taking me deep.
you
know that song, Take Me Deeper?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, right.
that's right.
Yeah.
And so what's happened most recently? Where are things at now for you, Joy?
Well, I want to share with you about the radiotherapy. Miracles you read in the Old Testament. This day and age, you do see some miracles, but I don't know if you actually witness a lot of miracles. And, you know, again, Joy with her skepticism and whatever. Yeah, that's nice. So when I had radiotherapy, it was on the Wednesday and I still had 6 treatments to go. When I got into radiotherapy, they said to me, Joy, did you know that you have got a massive open wound gash? And I said, yes, because it hurts like billy-o.
Yeah.
And they said, it is deep and it is a massive gash. And I said, okay, so we'll stop radiotherapy for a few days. Well, they're no. We'll keep on going. And I'm like, what about the pain and that? And they said, that's all right. We'll give you some cream. We'll pack you up and we'll give you some medication so that you've got painkillers and you can keep on going. And I'm like, oh, this sounds like a fun time.
Horrible, yeah.
And after that, I went and saw the nurse and they took photos and they're like, oh, Joy, that's a really nasty gash. They sent me home with some cream and they said, after tomorrow, we'll have some other cream in, which will be a healing cream. This is just a soothing cream. And we'll have to start packing it and giving you painkillers, etc. So that was like at about 4 o'clock on the Wednesday afternoon. I rang my friends and her and her hubby, and I said, will you pray for me? Will you ask that this be healed in God's name, God's will? If not, give me the strength to show the team there that no matter what I'm going through, God is with me and he is giving me his strength and I can stand on him. He will be my rock. So next morning, about 11 o'clock, was my next treatment. I had to see the nurse first. And Anna's like, hang on. What's with your arm? And in came Tanya. She called her in because they'd both been there. And they're like, Joy, we're pulling up yesterday's photos. And they were shell-shocked. They pulled out these nasty gash photos up on the screen. My underarm was completely healed, completely 100% healed. And these girls are like, what is this? Is this like divine intervention? They're like, what on earth? Even seeing, we're struggling to believe what we're actually witnessing. And I said, my friends and I prayed last night, if this is God's will, and it was completely up to him, it's no rubbing a genie lamp, it's nothing like that. And they're like, wow. And then I walked into the radiotherapy team. And never before had it happened. I had the same radiotherapy team I had the night before. And Belinda and Kingsley walked up and they're like, Joy, what's happened? And again, I was able to share with them that God had been so good and gracious to me and witness. And like, miracle, I'm like, really, Lord, you are truly amazing. And I just rejoice in you and I just thank you. I don't know why you're being so good to me, but it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Brings me to tears because, you know, Joy, what I find beautiful is that you have this posture of, Lord, you know, I'm praying for this and I actually believe that you can do this, which is really how we should pray, in saying, I believe that you can do this, knowing who you are. But then at the same time, sometimes you don't do what you want us to do.
We didn't with Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you don't answer necessarily in the way that we're hoping. And yet your prayer was, and I accept that, but just give me grace and strength to be able to deal with it. And yet he responded and answered in, you know, in this most miraculous way, which was testimony and, you know, to the goodness and grace and power of God.
Absolutely.
To all of these people that literally saw you the day before.
Yes.
You know, it is amazing and just astounding.
It was truly, Nathan. It was, again, if somebody had told me, I'd have been like, yeah. But for God to actually do it to me, and I've been able to witness to all my non-Christian friends, and they're all like, get out of town. You've got to be kidding me. You know, it's been an amazing time to be able to share. So from there, I have been given the best news ever. I went and saw my surgeon on the 11th of April and he said to me that he was very pleased how the treatment plan had gone. My bone density that I'd had again showed that my bones were as rock solid as the day I started. And
which
being the
phenomenal
loser that I am, I'm like, that's because I'm standing on my God, who is my rock. Psalm 18, God is my rock. And he's like, okay, Joy.
And
I'm like, okay, I'm excited. And he's like, yeah, you go for it.
Yeah.
And he said that the radiotherapy went exceptionally well and that I had the best team with the most contemporary, up-to-date treatment plan possible in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the best hormone treatment available. And he said, Joy, I've got the best news ever for you. You are disease-free.
Wow.
And I said to him, I'm telling you now, it's all praise to God. And I've had more than two people praying for me regularly. And I don't know why God has chosen me to be so good. But I've got a lot that I can do in the future, which I know he's going to lead me to, and he's told me to trust and obey. So,
yeah, that's right. Push you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, exactly.
His like sense this. Of humour, injections, and be in front of a church. Yeah, yeah, go, that, go, God.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, joy. It is. I'm lost for words at what God's been doing in you and through you. And it is just amazing. It's an incredible privilege for everyone here listening to your story, and the many others that will probably hear this over the coming months and years, especially as this story continues.
Yes.
But I also know, like, it's one thing for us to sit here now, and you have this you have this vibrance and life about you, which is just beautiful, and it's contagious. And I love spending time with you because you bless me just by being with you.
Thank you.
But I know that this journey hasn't been just vibrant
wonderful.
That there has been some incredibly dark times and some serious lows. Yes. But your joy through this is just beautiful, and your trust and your confidence and your faith in God, and your ability, your willingness, I suppose, to just continue to posture yourself at Jesus' feet and push into Him, is beautiful. And I really want us as a church to see Joy's example in this, and to follow in that. As Paul says, follow in my example. I actually want us to follow in Joy's, not because she's perfect by any means, but because she's modelling what it looks like to journey with Jesus through the ups and downs of life, and to say, whether you do this or whether you don't, I'm going to continue to surrender my life to you, and I want to be used by you.
Yes.
And Joy, that is just the most beautiful thing to see. And I thank you so much for sharing this with me, but also sharing this with all of us today.
Yeah, massive, massive round of applause. Joy is just an incredible woman. I know she's watching right now, so hello, Joy. It's great to have you share your story with us. That's going to be online. There's actually an additional 5 minutes at the end where she sort of gives an update as to what happens from here. She is still getting treatment. She's got about another five treatments left of immunotherapy and a few other things. And so this is why she couldn't come today, because obviously if she is exposed to any sort of sickness or disease, then that's going to suddenly change the course of treatment. But what a privilege it is. Yeah, just to hear the way that God has been so, so deeply at work in Joy's life and through her life. And so really, I'm a little bit lost for words, but I pray that as we have been privileged to hear that, that it causes each of us to think, wow, God, like, what are you doing, not just in her life, and so to give God praise for that, but also then to reflect on our own life and our own circumstances and the ups and downs of our own journeys, and to know this passage in Philippians 4, that we can pray about everything and thank God in everything because He is with us and He is deeply, deeply at work. And so I pray that God uses her story to challenge us, to change us, to mold us, to make us an instrument of His grace, so that the gospel continues to spread through the ups and downs of our own lives. And so just as we consider this, I want to finish, before I pray for us and pray for Joy, with this well-known passage from Romans 8. And then we're going to sing together, going to pray, and then we're going to sing together, "How great, or great are you, Lord." Okay, what a wonderful way to finish. But it says this, Romans 8, right at the end. It says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with life? As the scriptures say, for your sakes we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. But no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is as through Christ who has loved us. Overwhelming victory is as through Christ who has loved us. And I am convinced then that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise be to God. And so let's pray and worship, and then let's lift our voices together in thanksgiving. God, you are amazing. And we thank you so much for Joy Williams. Lord, what a beautiful woman you have used for your glory. We thank you for her story so far. And we pray that you will use her story to bring many people into your kingdom, to know of your love, to know of your grace, to know of your life and be transformed by it, so that they live in the abundant life that is theirs because of Christ Jesus. I thank you that Joy has continually experienced that. And I pray that you continue to sustain her and bless her and strengthen her and blast the cancer out of the ballpark. Lord, we thank you for the way you have so deeply been at work. We thank you for the healing that has taken place. But again, as she has prayed, Lord, she surrenders to you. And I pray that as we hear her story, that we too say, Lord, we surrender. We surrender all that we are, all that we have, and we give it to you. We lay our lives at your feet. And so I pray that you use us, your people, to glorify your name, to point to you, Jesus, and what you have done. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, for great are you, Lord.